Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Justin. That was polite of you, I suppose.
I have an embarrassing admission to make to you. I realized this week that I myself have participated in an alternative medicine that does not have, I think, a huge grounding in reality.
This does not surprise me, but please continue.
I went to an oxygen bar. They used to have an oxygen bar in the Huntington Arcade,
mm-hmm.
and I was covering it for a story, but I went and, like, checked it out. And they actually had one, if memory serves, in the mall. They had, like, a bunch of different scented oxygens, like pure oxygen. You could just, like, check out.
Inhale it?
Yeah, sitting, like you do with oxygen. What are you going to do, eat it?
Well, we're not usually inhaling pure oxygen.
Yeah, this is like the good stuff.
Right.
Pure O2.
You don't want too much. And there's a limit.
When you said you were going to do ozone therapy this week, mm-hmm. I got really embarrassed and nervous because I didn't want to be caught in your proverbial crosshairs.
Well, Justin, you're going to think this is nerdy, but this is the show. Ozone is actually different than oxygen. They're two different things. Because oxygen, the form that we usually are, have delivered, let's say that you're someone who needs oxygen therapy for real, not at a bar at the mall, but okay. For real.
Yeah.
It's O2, two atoms of oxygen.
Got it.
Right. Ozone is O3.
Okay.
So three oxygen atoms together. You would think it wouldn't make a big difference, but
it's just more oxygen.
Right. If you know anything about chemistry, then you know it really does.
So if you had two units of O3,
yes,
or three units of O2, that would be the same thing.
No, nope.
That's six O's.
No, different things. Mm. They're very different substances.
Mm. Six O's, no matter which way you slice it.
No, that is not how chemistry of
any
kind
works. So we're talking about a
molecule,
yes. Right? A molecule ozone. Of O3 mm-hmm. has three O's.
It has three O's.
Okay. And a molecule of O2 has two O's.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
So three molecules of O2.
No, okay.
And two molecules of O3. That's six O's. No matter which way you slice it, science.
We're going to stop with the O's and we're going to talk about what is ozone and why am I talking about it on a medical podcast?
It's an incredible layer that protects our Earth like sunscreen.
Yeah, it does that. But did you know, Justin, that it has been mistaken for medicine for a while?
No, it is medicine in that it's sunscreen. I guess
it's
a medical application in that there's a big layer
sort
of it that protects us from the rays of the sun.
Thank you to everybody who recommended this topic, Luke and Caredwin and Jenny and Sophie and Christina and Seth.
Caredwin?
Yes, I believe that was the name.
I never heard Caredwin.
I may be pronouncing it wrong.
Either way,
I read it.
It's close. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice name.
Yeah. So I was not familiar with this as an alternative medical therapy. I know what the ozone layer is. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the concept of ozone because I took chemistry, but that was about it. So ozone is an unstable molecule.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually in a gas form. It's very pungent. Its odor, you would know it. It's the odor of, right after lightning strikes.
Yeah.
That's ozone.
Oh, cool.
That's what that smell is. It's pale blue. you're curious. The name ozone actually comes from the Greek verb to smell, to smell, because of its odor, because of its, it's got that very strong kind of, I think we associate it with like clean, fresh, you know what I mean? That smell, that's ozone. Ozone is an oxidant. It oxidizes things as opposed to an antioxidant, I suppose. And it has a lot of industrial applications, but that also makes it damaging to human tissue, especially mucous membranes or the respiratory tract, and we'll kind of get into what it can cause. So it is a, it, as far as the human body goes, you could consider it kind of a toxic gas.
Okay.
So of course,
gotta put it in there.
We gotta find a way to use it for medicine. In 1839 was when it was first isolated. Christian Friedrich Schönbein isolated the gas. He named it ozone because of the smell, and he noticed that it was the same smell after lightning struck. He was like running electric currents through water. That's how he found it. And then soon after, they figured out the formula, three oxygen atoms. And from the jump, people started associating it with health. I mean, from its discovery, this is 1839. By the late 1800s, people are already trying to find ways to use it as medicine. Why? Because it smells kind of clean, maybe?
It has a clean smell, so they think that's it must be cleaning out my body?
Something, cleaning something. People, used to believe that lightning somehow cleansed the air, and so the smell came after lightning, so there was maybe an association there. Mm. It had three oxygens instead of regular old two, so it's 50% better. I don't know. For whatever reason, from the beginning.
I think also, though, wasn't this sort of, this era, like, electricity probably would have been associated with health, like, where we're starting to understand that electricity has a part in the human body, right? Because this is right around galvanization, yeah, and Mary Shelley and that kind of like Frankenstein. You could see how culturally we would think like, oh, electricity. That's,
and we were also, as electricity became a thing, we were also using it for various medical applications. Mm-hmm. So if we thought this had something to do with lightning, I could see that being
lightning
health.
Energy, yeah,
we think it was healthy. People started to believe that areas of higher elevation were healthier, because of the, you were closer to the ozone that was in the atmosphere.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is healthier there, though, right?
Why?
Because the oxygen is thinner, so it means you use less oxygen. So if you come down low, you're like Superman.
It doesn't quite work that way. There's some issues when you go from lower to higher elevation, but you're not.
You're going to, good issues. Because
you're talking about like athletic training at higher
elevations. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if your plan is just to move on top of a mountain to be healthy, that's not a good plan.
But when you come down from the mountain, your lungs are used to processing thin air, and you get that good thick air, and you're just like, let me run.
I say that as a hill dweller here in West Virginia.
Hill dweller? Sure. Okay.
I don't live in the hollers. I live up on the hills. Nothing wrong with hollers.
Nothing wrong with hollers. No. It's just a different elevation.
It's just different elevation. Like, for instance, Beaumont, California started calling itself the Zone of Ozone to try and draw in a lot of crunchy type tourists, you know. Mm-hmm. Crunchier than me. I'm a little crunchy. I'm not that crunchy.
You ain't let me make crunchy style cookie butter now. I saw that this week.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty excited about that.
I only believe in real crunchy things. I know, and this is weird. All of this is very weird to me, because simultaneously with us discovering that ozone was a thing and deciding that it must be healthy, we also figured out pretty quickly that it was in fact not healthy and very dangerous to living creatures. They did early experiments with ozone on frogs and birds and rabbits, and that showed a lot of damage to their respiratory tract. The guy, Christian Friedrich Schönbein, who isolated it, said, like, it actually, you know, it will make your chest hurt and difficult to breathe. And
yeah.
I think it might be dangerous. We figured out pretty quickly it would cause pulmonary edema. So like fluid accumulating in the tissue of the lungs if you inhaled too much. And we knew it could kill small mammals if they inhaled it.
Yeah.
So
that's not, I mean, it's not great, folks.
So we knew, and this is all like from its beginning, we figured out what it was. We thought it was really healthy. We knew it wasn't healthy. You'd think that would be the end of the story.
I wouldn't think that.
But if you listen to our show, then you know it never is.
Never give up.
One of the first to use it for medicinal purposes in the U.S. was Dr. John Kellogg. You may remember Dr.
Battle
John Kellogg.
Battle Creek's
own. Yes, from our previous episode on Dr. Kellogg. He was a fan of a lot of things that didn't work as medicine,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of really bad stuff.
Especially the hurt.
And he started using ozone saunas for diphtheria patients
sauna.
At Battle Creek. Yes, honey, a sauna.
A sauna.
Yeah.
You guys ever seen The Apple? This is anyway. Track Down the Apple. It's such a good. I'm now
it's
making
a wild movie.
The Apple references just to entertain my wife, and she wasn't even that entertained by it. So my audience of one.
I'm doing a business. This is important business.
Sorry, Dr. McElroy.
Important business. So it was very quickly adopted by a lot of different medical professionals. Now, definitely naturopaths, but also physicians. In 1892, it was described as a possible treatment for tuberculosis in The Lancet, in the journal The Lancet. Hmm. So it was getting mainstream medical use.
Do things get listed in medical journals as possible a lot? Is that a common thing where it's like, maybe? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, not today.
Yeah.
Maybe back in 1892.
Well, we were all just throwing spaghetti at the wall back then.
Let me say this. Yes, of course, there are articles that suggest that, like, we found this really interesting correlation. This could mm-hmm. be a big breakthrough, but we can't prove causation just yet, or that mm-hmm. it definitely works like this. Yes, but they have a lot more evidence than would have been needed for this back in the 1800s.
Fair.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, the thing that really, I think, made it explode, you could kind of blame Nikola Tesla for it.
Did this so is much good.
And if you read about people who are proponents of ozone therapy today, they cite Nikola Tesla as like, this is why you know it's legit. Tesla was into it. As if like we can blame poor Tesla for all of this.
Tesla was doing a lot of stuff. A lot of it great, but come on.
In the late 1800s, Tesla was trying to make wireless electric power for J.P. Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
He had been contracted to do so. He promised him. He was given a bunch of money. He was failing to provide this service for mm-hmm. J.P. Morgan. So he went to J.P. Morgan and he was like, there's this very eloquent like requests he made about, you know, how it's taking longer than he thought, but like you can't put a time limit on this stuff and like discovery and blah, blah, blah. And basically was saying, please give me more money. I can make this happen. And Morgan just responded, no, no more cash for you, Tesla. So Tesla said, I need to make something commercial so that I can start selling something and make money to fund this real thing that I'm working on. So he got into the ozone business. He had already made an ozone generator machine that would make ozone.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started selling them. He patented a corona discharge ozone generator in 1896, and then he formed the Tesla Ozone Company. And he began selling these generators to doctors and naturopaths to use at their office to give ozone therapy to patients. He would also create like a product, like a medicinal product, by bubbling ozone gas through olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that long, you can do that with all kinds of different oils, honestly. And if you do that, it will eventually create like a solid compound, and then you can sell that. And mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know, ozonated olive oil.
Ozonated is not an appetizing word.
And he would sell that to doctors to then prescribe to their patients. He also sold that process through the Sears catalog. So you could go to your Sears catalog and order like ozonated eucalyptus or pine or spearmint oil or something like that
mm-hmm.
to use for whatever.
Yeah, whatever you wanted to guess that it was good for.
A lot of early therapies had to do with like disinfecting wounds with like the thought was ozone gas in a lab killed bacteria and viruses sometimes and fungi and things like that. And so maybe we can do that in the human body. So much so that actually during World War One, they tried that to disinfect wounds. You would just direct ozone gas at a wound to try to kill all of the stuff that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
In order to allow the wound to heal.
Let me blaze this gas at you.
Yes. The instructions were apply until the tissue is glazed. Glazed.
That's so grody. It's the grodiest word they could have chosen.
Like a donut.
Sydney, no.
This obviously would create a great deal of tissue damage.
Mm.
as well. So like, yes, you might kill some germs, but you're also going to kill the human tissue that you're directing the gas at. So while this may have been an okay option in a time where we didn't have a lot of other great antiseptics, mm-hmm. you can see how this was quickly outpaced by everything else that could be used to clean and disinfect tissue that, you know, didn't also destroy it. Mm-hmm. So until the 30s, a lot of doctors and naturopaths got really into trying ozone for everything because the human public was already I don't know why I said that like I'm from outer space. The public was already way into this idea that ozone was medicine. And so doctors and naturopaths were happy to fulfill that need by saying, yeah, we can definitely administer ozone to you in a variety of ways. Let's come up with some new ones. So a gas can be hard sometimes to apply onto a human. So let's add it to other gases or liquids or something so that we can give you injections of it, maybe.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Maybe in the muscle, maybe under your skin. Maybe we could administer it vaginally.
Oh, sure. Cool.
Or rectally.
Oh, yeah.
Or give you an IV infusion.
Nice.
They also came up with a process called autohemotherapy, where they would take blood out of you.
Put it into a car.
Expose it to ozone. No, not that kind of auto.
Got it.
Auto meaning like from your body to your body.
Right.
Auto hemotherapy. So they would take it out of you, expose it to ozone, and then put it back in you to get all that ozone-y goodness right in you. You could also buy products like Liquizone, which was like a patent medicine kind of thing that was supposed to be just liquid ozone. Mm. Now, I think it's worth noting that this is fraudulent on many levels. Not only would ozone not work anyway, it could not be liquid ozone. Ozone exists as a liquid form at a temperature of about -170 degrees Fahrenheit. For all you Celsius fans, that's -112 degrees Celsius. That's quite cold. You could not ingest this.
That would not be a liquid that you could ingest.
No, you could not ingest this liquid. So that was a lie on several levels. But this was this ozone craze. We're about to. There's always a tipping point, right, where things start to fall off, where people start to change their minds. Don't worry, we're almost there.
Oh, thank goodness!
But before we do that, let's head to the billing department.
Let's go. Now, we were at something of a tipping point for ozone, Sydney.
That's right. So ozone at this point, we're in the early 1900s. We're careening towards the 1930s.
Okay.
And ozone is being tried by everybody for pretty much everything. I mentioned tuberculosis. We're talking anemia, whooping cough, asthma, bronchitis, insomnia, diabetes, gout, syphilis.
Oh, that's a lot of cure, Sydney.
Any kind of cancer you got, trench foot, gangrene, any kind of dentistry problems, dentists were trying it out. You could, as I said, put it in every orifice. You could inject it in every way.
Don't tell me what orifices I can put it into. My determination.
Inhale it through oil, sit in saunas. Ozone was everywhere. And everybody was into it. Mm-hmm. But was it helping?
No,
it wasn't. After a couple of things led to its downfall. I mean, other than the fact that I would love to say it was because it didn't work. That doesn't always stop us.
No.
It helped that it was fake. It helped. The FDA started to crack down on it. That was part of it. Mm-hmm. The AMA also in the 30s started to say, you know what, like, we've got real stuff that works, maybe not with the fake
the poison gas.
Maybe not with the poison gas
that you people feel determined to ingest.
The rise of modern antiseptics was a big part of this, because we found, I mean, when you clean a wound, if you can avoid destroying all of the human tissue, that would be preferable.
Okay. Not turning it into a glaze.
Not
for example.
Glazing it. So as we found ways of doing that, ozone became, you know, less favorable.
It must be such a disappointment when you find things that do work and you're like, oh, okay. This is actually what working looks like. We were kind of, it's not glaze. Everybody pack it in. Okay, this is actually medicine.
As it began to fall out of favor in the U.S., it still persisted throughout the world. There were still a lot of places that were that were working on it. Specifically, there was a lot of work being done in Germany using ozone treatments. Some of that was tried in Canada as well. In the US, it was mainly falling to like naturopathic and homeopathic practitioners, but actual medical people weren't really using it quite as much. And by the 50s, the FDA was straight up seizing ozone generators from doctors' offices and places and saying, this is not okay. This is not a thing. You can't do this. It's actually been a big problem even currently for like the Federal Trade Commission to crack down on all of the false claims made by people who sell these ozone generators, because they're still being sold, by the way.
Oh, good.
This has been a persistent problem because there's so much misinformation out there about ozone, which is, they can't, but it's not stopping anybody. Now, as it became obvious that there were better ways to clean tissue and the things that it was kind of being used for, it was not the best treatment for. And I think you see this with a lot of these kind of woo medicine things. Mm-hmm. People began proposing it for things that are harder to treat or maybe can't be cured yet. And I think that the reason that people try that is, one, desperation. But I think the other thing is that it's hard to disprove.
Yeah.
So at this point, you start to see, instead of like saying, hey, use it on, you know, that ulcer on your foot, why don't you try it for your cancer? Why don't we try it as a therapy for HIV? Maybe it's a good treatment for multiple sclerosis or arthritis or heart disease or Alzheimer's or dementia or Lyme disease and various forms of things that maybe weren't really Lyme disease. Things that are a little more complex, and therefore it's easier. I think it's also a little easier to trick people.
So the ozone generators that are being marketed as air purifiers, are they like on the is that on the level?
What is it trying to do? It's not going to, no. I mean, ozone, you can release ozone into the air, I suppose, but
they remove odors by producing, this is from somebody who's selling one of these. Unlike air fresheners that only mask odors, ozone generators remove odors by producing large/concentrated amounts of O3, which oxidize and break down residual odor compounds in the surrounding air. Because the O3 is so highly concentrated, it's recommended that rooms be unoccupied during treatment. Once the air treatment is finished, though, the O3 quickly converts back to O2, and the room is left with a fresh air smell.
I mean, what you're just putting ozone in a room.
And then it kills all the stuff.
Not necessarily, no. I don't think there's good science to say it's going to do that. I mean, it is going to decompose into O2. So that is true. I guess that's okay. If you want to fill a room with ozone and then it will go away and then the room will smell like ozone.
Sydney, here's what I'm going to say to you.
I told you, it has a clean smell.
69 customer reviews, 4.5 stars, cannot be wrong. You are just one person, Sydney. Mm-hmm. These are 2,000 reviews.
So throughout,
I bought toothbrushes with fewer reviews than that, and those go in my mouth daily, sometimes twice.
As we go to more recent years, like the 80s and the 90s, which is fairly recent, feels recent.
In the scope of Sawbones, it's very recent.
you see it being used for, all, like I said, these kind of harder to treat conditions and things that we didn't necessarily have, especially with HIV at first, any way to treat it at first. And so all these things are being tried. So you see studies where they're like mixing it with water and swallowing it for stomach cancer, doing like an enema of it for colon cancer. That was popular throughout the 80s. The HIV research really came to fruition in the 80s, where they were trying to, like, they were putting HIV in a lab under ozone and seeing that it like inactivated the virus. And so then theoretically, like, can we just put it in the human body and it'll kill the virus? But like, there are a lot of things that we can dump on bacteria and viruses in a lab and kill them.
Bleach.
And you don't necessarily want to like ingest or inject in your veins or whatever. I mean, we can't do that. If curing disease was that simple, there would be none.
Putting bleach in there all the time.
Well, right. I mean, we can't just willy-nilly go injecting every toxic substance into our body to kill things.
Right.
We have to, if we're going to use something toxic, it has to be in a controlled you know,
precise
way. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, chemotherapy can be toxic to the human body, but like, that's why we're very careful and we know which compounds to use.
Right.
Not everything can work that way. So there was a lot of study done on that, but none of it really came to fruition in terms of in vivo, meaning in the body. So in vitro things looked like, well, maybe this will help. In vivo things showed that it didn't. They tried a lot of auto chemotherapy specifically for HIV in the 80s. A lot of trials out of Germany where they would take HIV patients and take their blood and expose it to ozone and put it back in, and it didn't work. And this therapy, like I said, was still persisting even in the US. In 2010, there were 77 ozone generators seized in California. They were mainly used by alternative medicine practitioners. I mean, this was like, I think, $80,000 worth of medical equipment. And I mean, these practitioners would charge patients hundreds of thousands of dollars to come get these ozone treatments. I mean, and you can buy, like, these ozone generators probably do generate ozone. I mean, I'm not going to vouch for everyone out there, but like, they probably do that. The problem is that ozone they're generating, one, can be toxic, and two, isn't going to help you. In 2015, two Las Vegas homeopathic doctors used an ozone generator to fill a syringe with ozone and something. They injected it into a patient and the patient died.
Great.
So the doctors were charged with second degree murder.
Jeez. And
so this is a lot of these alternative medicine therapies. My concern with them is usually that people will seek this out instead of traditional medicine that may be helpful. With ozone, you have the added threat that it could actually kill you. It could be directly toxic. And even as I was reading, like, people who are proponents of this, and you will find a lot of them.
Yeah.
2,300,
however many.
But like, even as I was reading proponents of this talk about how effective it is, I read in one person noted, and you'll see that the side effect rate is very low, and they cited a number, and they said, and there have only been 4 fatalities. And what's problematic about that for me is that it doesn't work. So then you're just killing people. That doesn't mean that, oops, sometimes medicine goes wrong and you kill someone. It means this is something that doesn't work. There's no evidence for it. And also, we killed 4 people with it. Oops.
And like, I'm still looking at, like, sorry, I'm like, the ozone, I'm looking at another one on Amazon that it said, literally said, remember you were just talking about, like, that dumb garbage about how you could buy water and buy stuff. The Aqua 6 comes with everything you need to start ozonating now. It's talking about purifying your tap water and increasing the shelf life of fruits and vegetables by putting this next.
You can find, even though, in April of 2016, the FDA prohibited the medical use of ozone in any medical, this quote, in any medical condition for which there is no proof of safety and effectiveness. Ozone is a toxic gas with no known useful medical application in specific, adjunctive, or preventive therapy. In order for ozone to be effective as a germicide, it must be present in a concentration far greater than that which can be safely tolerated by man and animals. So it's pretty definitive.
Right. It's not medicine.
It's not medicine, everyone. And it's toxic. I love that it's a toxic gas. Please don't use it as medicine, folks. It's a toxic gas. This has not stopped everyone, though,
and
of
this
course.
Is from this is from April 2016 when the FDA was still...
Yeah.
When government organizations could still be trusted.
You will find people who still will tell you should use it. There's still naturopaths who prescribe it and homeopaths. I found this was great. It was a list of 24 different ways to put ozone in your body. It was just this whole list. And it was like, you can do some of these at home. For instance, you can put it in your ear right at home or in your drinking water. But if you want to try auto chemotherapy or IV injection, you would need to go to a doctor. Now, vaginal insufflation or rectal insufflation, just blowing it up there, you can do that right at home if you want to. If you want to inject it into a tumor, you should probably go somewhere where they can do that. Or if you want to do external limb bagging, where they put a bag around your limb and then fill it with ozone, or maybe just, you know, bag your whole self. Like, you can put your whole self in plastic bags and fill it with ozone. You could breathe it through some olive oil. That's old fashioned. Ooh, we love that fancy kind of thing. You could insufflate your bladder. That would be a little, or your uterus. Steam cabinets. They've got ozonated olive oil massage that you can try. An ozonated water enema. And they'll sell you the specific bags you need for that. You can find all this online. And I found if you want a ozone sauna, Justin, I have a link there that you can click on too.
Okay.
It's a Synergy ozonated steam sauna.
Ooh.
It's like portable. You can take it wherever. It has a nice little briefcase you can put it in, and you just hook that up and sit inside some ozone, I guess, for over $1,000. You can find that at the Real Truth Behind Cancer store.
The Real Truth Behind Cancer store. Mm-hmm. And it's got a little detective on there and everything.
I found that some
good
suggestions.
Good URL, guys. How'd you ever get www.thetruthbehindcancerstore.com?
It also supposedly works better with magnet therapy.
Natch, mm-hmm. Of course, because it attracts all the best parts of it.
And I also found some suggestions that we should all just be using it to prevent disease.
Of course.
So just
drink
water with ozone, which is called Ozona.
Ozona.
Ozona. Doesn't that sound so much better than just regular old water?
Water. I can't even with regular old water anymore, Sid.
So this is all still out there, and I find a lot of people proposing it. It gets linked in with chronic Lyme disease, which we've done a whole episode on Lyme disease. It's a complex issue, and I've talked about it. I would say there is something called post-Lyme disease treatment syndrome, not chronic Lyme as an entity in itself, but there's a whole episode on that. But you'll find it linked in with that. And I mean, you can see there are places where you can go and get like IV infusions of ozone or whatever I don't know what they're putting in you. Ozone and something. What is it good for, really? Cleaning things in some hospitals and like dental offices. It's good for cleaning tools. Like, it's a toxic gas. You wouldn't want to put it on a human, but you could put it on like some surgical equipment. That would be fine.
Or I could use it.
You could use it to clean water. Like, if you're trying to, there are some systems that use this, like in different countries for cleaning water. It doesn't make your water ozonated. It just can clean some, it can kill, you know, some pathogens that might be in your water.
Which you don't need to do with your tap water. Statistically speaking, most areas of the country, obviously, tap water is very safe. And
yeah, and drinkable, and you don't depending, need
to freaking run a ozonator through it.
No, and this won't work for the things like, I mean, if you want to talk about a place with a water problem, like in Flint, an ozonator is not what people need. They need, you know, money for infrastructure for new pipes to get the lead out of the water.
Right.
You know, so there are ways to fix that problem. Our government is not doing anything about it, but that has nothing to do with an ozonator. An ozonator will not solve any of these problems. You can find ozonators commercially, by the way. You can buy your own ozone generator.
I'm telling
you. You can buy them for usually around $1,000 for the really nice ones.
You can get one for $70 right now.
And who knows? And this is, I guess.
Don't.
Don't. I guess, is this Tesla's greatest legacy?
Oh, boy. What a wonderful contribution that he made to.
No, Tesla, we won't pin that on you. You're cool, hate Tesla.
You'd still have to have many high-profile boners before you would get anywhere near Edison, so you're fine.
This is important to remember. If you are someone who is, if you're a genius inventor, be really careful. Yeah. You throw out these commercial products just to make some quick cash, and now forever we have people saying, well, it must work because Nikola Tesla invented an ozone generator.
I'm looking at this. The ozone generator that I'm looking at on Amazon has a label on it that says use in unoccupied space only, because as we have discussed here, it's toxic, right?
Yeah.
And it's a purifier and deodorizer, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you want your air to smell great where you're like gonna run this poison gas machine so you have a great, hey everybody, why don't we just get some Febreze? What do you think? Maybe we don't even need to spray your house with poison gas, you maniacs.
I don't know. I got nothing. I got nothing. I don't know. I understand. When
you know
stuff...
what I do? I have a nice essential oil diffuser. Get some, I'm not saying it's going to cure my emphysema, please, Sydney. It's just
please refer.
Nice.
Please let me refer you to our episode on essential oils.
I'm not saying it's going to like, I'm not saying that it's going to increase my fertility.
No, all it's going to do is irritate my nasal passages.
I'm not running it right now.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
All of these smelly things. Anyway, don't buy an ozone generator and don't use ozone for anything. It's a toxic gas. It damages human tissue. It can kill you. It's dangerous. This one's easy. There's so many things where it's like, we really don't have evidence that no,
it's poison gas.
It's toxic gas. Please don't use it. And if somebody's telling you you should, please advise them otherwise. And I don't refer them to any, there's no medical evidence that this works in the human body. There really isn't. So, also it's in that layer that protects us from the sun. There's the other use for ozone. But you don't have to do anything about that. Just don't use chlorofluorocarbons and everything's fine.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Maximum Fun Network as having us as a part of their extended podcasting family. Thanks to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. We always appreciate getting a little bit of your time every week. And we hope you will join us again next week. But until then, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right. Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.